After Good Friday agreement in Northern Ireland, about a year later, my son was teaching in a school. And it came to Remembrance Sunday, and that week he was wearing a poppy. And one of the teachers came up to him and really gave him a dressing down, saying, "You're encouraging war. You're sticking up for the English and not..." He said, "No," he said, "I'm wearing this in remembrance for all those who gave their lives for their country." He was going to swallow it, but he got a little bit upset, so he went and saw the principal. And the principal said, "Why are you so upset?" He said, "Well, the teacher who just had a go at me..." Each school in Northern Ireland after the Good Friday Agreement had to have a teacher or a person of reconciliation. And the person who dressed my son down was the person who was supposed to be giving reconciliation. You see, we often give lip service to things, don't we? But do we mean them? Are they in our hearts? Let's read our readings now, please.
First reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, page 187 in the Church Bibles. The Passover. Honour the Lord your God by celebrating Passover in the month of Abib. It was on a night in that month that he rescued you from Egypt. Go to the one place of worship and slaughter, and there one of your sheep or cattle for the Passover meal to honor the Lord your God. When you eat this meal, do not eat bread prepared with yeast. For 7 days you are to eat bread prepared without yeast, as you did when you had to leave Egypt in such a hurry. Eat this bread, it will be called the bread of suffering, so that as long as you live, you will remember the day you came out of Egypt, that place of suffering. For 7 days, no one in your land is to have any yeast in the house, and the meat of the animal killed on the evening of the first day must be eaten that same night. Slaughter the Passover animals at the one place of worship and nowhere else in the land that the Lord your God will give you. Do it at sunset, the time of day when you left Egypt. Boil the meat and eat it at the one place of worship, and the next morning return home. For the next 6 days you are to eat bread prepared without yeast, and on the seventh day assemble to worship the Lord your God and do no work on that day. The second reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 13 to 20.
22.
Luke, chapter 22, verses 13 to 20. Found on page 109 in the Church Bibles. Luke 22, verses 13 to 20. The Lord's Supper. Then they went off and found everything just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table with the apostles. He said to them, "I have wanted so much to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer." For I tell you, I will never eat it until it is given its full meaning in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus took a cup, gave thanks to God, and said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. I tell you that from now on, I will not drink this wine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a piece of bread, gave thanks to God, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. do this in memory of me. In the same way, he gave them the cup after supper, saying, this cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood, which is poured out for you.
I picked those two readings because they've got remembrance in. The Jews, the Israelites, were told to remember for all time when they were saved and brought out of Egypt. And in our New Testament reading, we read that the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. So there's a lot of remembering to be done at this time of the year as we remember these things. I've read that if each member of the British and Commonwealth servicemen and women killed in the First World War, if they marched past the cenotaph four abreast, it would take them 7 weeks to march past. When you get a picture, it's easier sometimes to realise things, isn't it, than just a number, but the picture and marching past, it would take 7 days. I also read that if all those killed in wars in the 20th century, that includes foe and friend, all nations, it would take years for all those killed through those fighting to march past four abreast of the cenotaph. I had a figure of 46 years, but that seemed a bit high to me, so I'm not 100% sure that that's correct. But we do remember, don't we? We do remember. In 2014, I visited the Tower of London to see the display of poppies. And as I stood and looked at them and seeing all those poppies, one for each member of the British and Commonwealth service, men and women, killed in the Great War. The Great War, the war to end all wars. I thought, what a price to have to pay. As I looked at those poppies, I was surprised at my emotion. I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel anything other than anger. I felt so angry that each one of those poppies represented a person's life, a person who had laid down their life for their country. And it wasn't long after, was it, 20 years, 21 years, that they had to change the name of the Great War to the First World War. No longer was it the war to end all wars. 21 years later, it was now called the First World War because the Second World War had started. And I felt angry. And as I stood and looked at the field of the poppies, I'll admit, and I think it's something for all of us when we remember, it's something personal. My mind turned to personal thoughts. I thought of my father, who was a Royal Marine. He was due to go on a raid on D-Day 1, but a couple of days before he went, he suffered nosebleeds. So he was placed in hospital. And his company of 90 went on the raid. And out of those 90, only two came back, a corporal and a marine. All the others were killed. And I only thought about it when I was thinking about preparing this. If my father had been on that raid, he would have been killed. And my two younger sisters would never have been born. Or their children, or their children. 15 members of my family would never have been born because if my father had been killed. I think when you start thinking like that, not just of those who had died, but the things that's changed in this world, how that so many people's lives have been changed, how many people haven't been born who would have been born, it makes you think. My wife's father, he was a night fighter pilot at the time when we were all being told, us who lived through the war, were told that our night fighter pilots and our bomber pilots could see in the dark because they had many carrots. That was the story put round. But he was flying a new Marker plane. He flew a Beaufighter Mark II, and he was flying along on a raid when all of a sudden, 100 yards off the Norfolk coast, he was shot down. He had no means of defending himself from behind. He only had forward-looking guns, and he was coming into land, so he was jumped from behind. He was killed, and so was his radar operator. My wife was only 6 months old at the time. I wonder if he'd survived, would she have had more brothers and sisters? I don't know. After the war, my mother-in-law received a roll of honour, or a scroll, and it read this: held in honour as one who served King and country in the World War of 1939 and 45. And gave his life to save mankind from tyranny. May his sacrifice help to bring the peace and freedom for which he died. I turned away from the field of poppies, as I had no desire to wave a Union Jack or cheer. I thank God that by their sacrifice I could come and stand here this morning in this service and take it with the door open. There's a lovely verse that I like a lot in the Psalms. If you read it in the Good News Bible, it says this: stop fighting and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Where's God today? He's still here, but man has forgotten him. This is the time of year, isn't it, when we remember. Last Sunday at Ponder's End, we had our Remembrance Sunday. We read it in our Luke reading when Jesus offered the communion. And he told his disciples, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. We do it often, don't we? Remembrance, not just at this time of year. It's a time when we remember All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day. And yes, last Monday we remembered the gunpowder plot. It wasn't until last Saturday I realised how much Enfield was involved in that plot. But we remember a lot at this time. Do we remember the rest of the year? Do we remember our Lord and Saviour the rest of the year, or just at this time? And today we are remembering those that have given their lives down the ages. I'd like to read you something I read from a man in America called Bill Crowder. He was flying back to his home in America from Heathrow Airport on a November day. And he said this: when an announcement came over the tannoid saying to the people that this was Remembrance Day in the UK, the day on which people honoured those who had died for their country in time of war. The announcement further said that at 11 a.m. there would be a 2-minute silence. and that it would be appropriate and appreciated if everyone kept that time of remembrance. He went on to say that thousands of visitors were in the terminal at the time, flying around the world from all different nations. But he said everybody stopped to remember. He went on to say that the desire to remember those who gave their lives for the country is to be praised. Yet as important as that is, it cannot be compared to the privilege that belongs to those that remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for mankind in his death on the cross. In our reading from Luke 22:19, we read, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in Corinthians 1:11-26, we read this, "And do it till he comes." We're to remember not just on Remembrance Day, but we're to remember our Saviour all the year round. Remember when he sacrificed his life for us. He provided the forgiveness of sin that sets us free and secures for us an eternal home in heaven. It's not only a time of remembering and looking back, it's also a time to look forward. In the city of Melbourne in Australia is the home of the Shrine of the Remembrance of a War Memorial to honour those who died for their country in the First World War. But it's been added to and it's been built on. And it's a beautiful place. I've never been there, but I know people who have, and they said it's a very moving place. And he said in the middle of this, there's a little area set aside. And in the middle is a stone, carved stone. And on it, it says this, "Greater love hath no man." Just those simple words. "Greater love hath no man." On the 11th day, at the 11th hour, a mirror reflects the sun's light onto the stone to spotlight just one word, the word love. It's a poignant tribute to those who gave their lives. We honour the memory of those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Yet the words on that stone carry far greater meaning. Far greater meaning. Jesus spoke them the night before he died on the cross for the sins of a needy world. John 19:13. His death was not to give us freedom from politics or from tyranny, but freedom from the penalty of sin. Not a word that you use much nowadays. He gave his life that we could live for eternity. His death was not just to give us a better life down here, but to give us eternal life. It is important to remember those who have given their lives for their country. But may we never forget to praise and honour Christ, who died for a dying world. Truly, there is no greater love than this. A 100 years ago, today, the guns fell quiet. Peace had come. Or had it? As we look up back over the last 100 years, what's peace? Has it come? What did the scroll say that was given to my mother-in-law? May his sacrifice help to bring the peace and freedom for which he died. I always like to look up my dictionary when I'm preparing a sermon or a talk. And it said this: calm, tranquility, freedom from disturbance, a period in which there is no war, or the war has ended. I've been told that there has been only 1 year since the Second World War when a British service person hasn't been killed. And that was in 1968. The only year since then. And we're now in what, 2018. That's the only year that a British service person hasn't been killed. But how does my Bible describe peace? I looked at the dictionary, so I now went to my Bible. A tranquil state of soul, of rest and contentment, as a consequence of a relationship between God and man, accomplished through the gospel. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Have we got that? Have we got that peace within? He's not talking about peace outside. He's talking about peace in each one of us. We have peace through the gospel. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:17 these words: Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away. Peace to those who are also near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Isn't it wonderful that we can look back and we can remember, but we can also look forward and remember what is to come. Amen.